We have 11 amazing restaurants featuring a wide variety for every price range and appetite. South Point's Garden Buffet has something for everyone at unbeatable prices. Or, if hunger strikes in the middle of the night, join us at Coronado Cafe. The American menu offers breakfast, lunch, or dinner 24 hours a day, plus a Chinese kitchen for authentic Chinese dishes from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. From steak and eggs to wonton soup, it's fast and friendly service 24/7. When you need a quick pick-me-up, you can find it at our state-of-the-art Starbucks just inside the main South Point entrance. Order ahead with the Starbucks app for easy mobile order pickups. Or enjoy your favorites in the relaxing dining area anytime, day or night. If you love Mexican food, Baja Miguel's has all of your south of the border favorites. There are dozens of classics to choose from, like fajitas, ceviche, chimichangas, tacos, and more. And for spirit lovers, Baja's colorful non-smoking tequila bar is right outside.
John was the most incredible person I'd ever met. Aviation was John's love and passion. He was present as a Marine and present as a dad, as a husband. It was a normal, ordinary Wednesday for us. When I was picking up my daughter from daycare, my friend that I would carpool with mentioned that there was an aircraft that went down. In an instant, you know, your life does change. And you, especially having children, have to decide, how am I going to do this? I got a message from a friend, and they said, there's this foundation called Tunnel to Towers. And they said on TV that they're going to pay for your and John's mortgage. And it just felt like a frozen moment in time that I'd never forget. I'm so grateful for that.
By giving $11 a month, you're joining us on our mission to do good. Go to T2T.org. It only takes $11 a month to make a positive impact.
$1 million will be on the line for a field of top juveniles at Los Alamitos. It's the running of the Golden State Million Futurity on Sunday, October 27th. They'll be dreaming of riches, led by fastest qualifier, American Dreaming. This filly was simply sensational in the Golden State Million Trials. Plus, Lethal Cowboy 123 and Big Bang Rocket will be looking to repeat their big trial wins. And can Ultimate Battle win a Futurity after two runner-up finishes? The Golden State Million Futurity, Sunday, October 27th.
The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
Live from the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. All righty, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Almost Friday Thursday. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station, South Point Studios. The South Point Studios at the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard in the gaming capital. And, of course, the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube. We welcome you to the show, as well as all of our listeners here on our anchor radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM and 107.1 FM. And, of course, everybody who's listening to us via the simulcasting that we have on our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global. How about your iPhone, Android? Got that covered with the apps. KSHP app will have you listening to us, and the YouTube app, you can listen and watch us. On your iPhone or your Android or anywhere else you get your podcasting, we welcome you to the Race Day Show for today. All righty. Outside here, it's breezy. 71 degrees and breezy outside. We're going to get up to only 86 today because of the wind. Now, we got wind coming in, which means that we are in a red warning zone. The red warning zone means that the conditions are higher conditions for fires. So be careful out there for the, you know, the area around us, which is all the desert, et cetera. We are in a red warning here. But outside of that, everything is beautiful outside. Really is. Nice day. And as far as the rest of the country is concerned, I do believe it's not too bad around the country either. As far as the precipitation is concerned, it's all up in the area of Utah, you know, Montana, etc. A little bit going on in New Mexico, but nothing in Southern California and or here. A front is moving like from the northwest down through southwest, but not here, that's for sure, or in Southern California, although there's no racing today at Santa Anita. As far as the East Coast is concerned, clear throughout, including the Southeast, which they really need some good weather down there, and of course, all through the Plain States and the Midwest. So everything looks in pretty good shape. And as far as the temperatures are concerned, nobody is going to hit 100 today, finally. What is this, the 17th day of October? You got 85 in Miami, you got 59 degrees in New York, Chicago's 57, Oklahoma City 65, Phoenix, Arizona 97, they're not in 100 anymore, and of course in LA it's 73 degrees, going to be 73 today, so it looks like the racing is going to be well, nice all across the country. We're going to do a little bit of Breeders' Cup update when we get to Jonathan Hardoon with us today. Just checking on all of the horses on their way and their final travel plans and workouts before the Breeders' Cup, which is only 15 days away now. I mean, look, tomorrow will be exactly 2 weeks until the Breeders' Cup. All right, 15 days, 4 hours, 34 minutes, and 49 seconds and counting until the Breeders' Cup starts. And, of course, we tell you, as we always do on this show, that we're going to have some specials during Breeders' Cup week on Wednesday, the Wednesday before Breeders' Cup on the 30th of this month, which is a week from next Wednesday, actually. We'll be doing a special Breeders' Cup preview show with our handicappers, Jonathan Hardoon and John Lindo, and a few other guest handicappers here on the YouTube channel, only on the YouTube South Point Studios streaming channel. That'll be Wednesday, October 30th at 4 p.m. Pacific time. This is the only place you can get it, right here. We will not be simulcasting it anywhere else from the studios here at the South Point. And then, of course, Friday, the first day of the Breeders' Cup, after the Breeders' Cup races are concluded on the first day, we'll be doing our seminar, our Breeders' Cup seminar, in the Grandview Lounge, which is adjacent to the book. That'll be at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And it'll feature, again, our in-house handicapper, John Lindo, and, of course, Jonathan Hardoon, who's going to be flying in from New York. So his arms are going to be tired by the time he gets here. He'll be okay. In any case, we'll do our annual Breeders' Cup seminar on that Friday night, November 1st at 6 o'clock in the Grandview Lounge, a nice lounge. It's a lounge that has entertainment in it at night, but they're going to yield that early on that Friday to us. So you'll be comfortable there in all these nice lounge chairs and tables, etc. And that's on Friday. And then on Saturday, we go up to the Grand Ballroom here at the South Point for the celebration of the Major Breeders' Cup Day, Saturday, November 2nd, with the betting windows and kiosks and food and drink discounts and big theater-like screens all over the place, littler TVs, smaller TVs around the ballroom, so you can play the other races that are happening that day as well. Betting stations, kiosks, food and drink specials, etc. And we're going to have prize giveaways, too, up there. So come join us here at the South Point in the Grand Ballroom. Doors open at 9 a.m. And by the way, they are also open. That Grand Ballroom will also be open on Friday as well. The two Breeders' Cup days, the Grand Ballroom will be open on both those days. And 9 a.m., they'll open the doors there. Big banquet tables. You can spread out and bring all your buddies and your friends and just have a good time here with me and John Lindo and Jerry and Jonathan Hardoon. They'll be here playing the races with us as well. It's all free. Everything I just said is free, including parking your car. And for those of you that are out of town and planning on coming here to join us for the celebration of the Breeders' Cup and trying to make money on the Breeders' Cup as well. Yeah, we'll be betting. We're trying to make money there. There'll be special room rates for folks coming on out here to spend the weekend with us here at the South Point. They got great rooms here, too. All right, so that's that as far as that's concerned. Remember, coming up on Wednesday, coming up on this coming Monday, is the what I call the Declaration Day, okay? The pre-entries. You have pre-entries for the Breeders' Cup. That'll happen on Monday. And you have to pre-enter into the Breeders' Cup and make your declaration of what race is your preference if you're entering in more than one race. Then it's going to be kept under lock and key, so to speak, until Wednesday morning. Next Wednesday, they will make the announcement of all of the pre-entries. That announcement will come on all the usual streaming networks that cover horse racing. The big one, of course, is FanDuel, the FanDuel TV network. And they'll make that announcement. They'll start making that announcement of those horses and those races at 9 a.m. Pacific time on Wednesday. And then, of course, the while they're making that announcement, the Daily Racing Form, Breeders' Cup Advanced Edition, covering everything and then some about the Breeders' Cup, the great history of the Breeders' Cup, and all of the entries in the Breeders' Cup, and all the races they ran in the Breeders' Cup, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That Breeders' Cup Advanced Edition will be available on that Wednesday as well. And you just get it wherever you get your racing form today. That's where you can get your Advanced Edition. And if you are not in a place where you can get it, but you want it, when Rich Ain comes along later on, he'll give you a phone number you can call, and they'll ship one out to you. Okay, you can buy it through the Daily Racing Form office here in Las Vegas. So what's happening today? Because we've got to start building up a bankroll, right? First of all, I want to thank John Lindo and Rich Ang yesterday. They gave us a Sirocco play, and it won. John Lindo's horse won the race, Generous Tipper. That was the sixth race yesterday at Keeneland. Paid $12.26, and Richie's horse, who was something like 16-17 to 1, finished second in the race. Big price in the second place finish there. So the $1 exacta, Sirocco play $1 exacta, paid $47.98. Thank you very much, guys, for the Sirocco play yesterday. All righty. As far as other things that happened yesterday at Keeneland, you had a $27 winner, $19 winner, that $12 winner. And then in the seventh race, GoldenEye won under Flavian Pratt for Peter Urton. Peter Urton's got a barn now out there at Keeneland from Southern California. So they got together, won it with GoldenEye, who was winning his second race in a row, by the way, paying $14.20. And then the last race blew it up. Last race winner, Gotta Have Dreams, paid $40.60 with James Graham aboard. This was a controversial race. We're going to get into it with Jonathan Hardoon and John Lindo. But the second place finisher, Ultimate Strike, was on its way to an easy win through the stretch. And the jockey misjudged the finish line. James Graham, who rode the winner, did not. And he came up and caught him right at the wire. And you know there's going to be some feedback about on that. There's no question about it. There's going to be blowback on that one. Pick Six paid $18,890.90 yesterday at Keeneland. Okay. So we have a carryover today in the Pick Six at Aqueduct, though, so that's good stuff. And Aqueduct gets underway today from Sunday. We have a carryover in the Pick Six. And we will get into that with Jerry Jackowitz and Jonathan Hardoon a little bit later as well. As far as some of the racing news is concerned, five more horses were euthanized at Los Alamitos with the equine infectious anemia. This disease takes its toll on horses, okay? This now is a total of 12 horses that have been euthanized, all trained by Heath Taylor. Taylor had horses in other states with the EIA as well. Six more are still in quarantine. So they got a problem. His barn is being wiped out by this disease, equine infectious anemia, and it's being quarantined, obviously, in Southern California at Los Alamitos. As far as anything else is concerned, like I said, we will get to the some of the Breeders' Cup races when we get with Jonathan Ardoon a little bit later on. So why don't we do this? We'll go to our first break, and then when we come back, we'll just start doing our usual stuff on this Almost Friday Thursday. Of course, there's a Thursday night football game, so I'm sure that Richie has a pick in that as well. We do have Jonathan Ardoon standing by. Rich Eng will be with us, of course, John Lindo and Jerry Jackowitz as well. So we're just getting started on this Almost Friday, Thursday race day show. Don't go away. We'll be right back and get on the line to YouTube at South Point Studios at YouTube and subscribe and start chatting away on the chat box as well. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
Racing. Now, you know, this is the kind of the waiting weekend. We're just kind of waiting until we build up for the Breeders' Cup. But there are, you know, there are some things happening. For example, tomorrow at Remington Park, they'll have the Oklahoma Classics Night with the Oklahoma Breds and the big state bred night of racing. And so there'll be 10 races, 10 stakes races in all the divisions for the Oklahoma Breds. And that'll be tomorrow. On Saturday, just for an FYI, half a pond away, they're going to have the British Championships for the British bred horses at Ascot. Five of those on Saturday. And then, of course, we'll have our usual stakes races across the country. Belmont and Aquaria will have a couple. Gulfstream will have a couple. Keeneland will have a couple. They'll have a grade two. And then Woodbine has the grade three Ontario Derby. And then on Sunday, same deal. They'll have several stakes races across the country, including the Dowager at Keeneland. All righty. So time to get started with your racing menu of racetracks available today in the racebook, simulcast centers and racetracks around the country. Reminding you, as we always do, the first post times we broadcast on the show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone, because that's where we're at here in Las Vegas, and these will be the first post times that roll out in our racebook right behind us, right behind the studio here at the South Point. So if you're in the Pacific time zone, no problem. However, but the simulcasting that we have and the platforms that we have all over the world, we know people are in another time zone. So we're just reminding you that if you're in another time zone, adjust to the Pacific time zone when you hear these post times so you don't get shut out. And we didn't want you to miss anything. Okay, like I missed one. All right, here we go. We begin with Laurel Park. Laurel Park has a pick six jackpot carryover, $5,571. They got nine races today at Laurel. At Laurel Park, first post time is 9:25 at Laurel Park. Delaware Park is next. They'll have 10 races on tap today at Delaware. Their first post time is at 9:30 at Delaware. Belmont at Aqueduct. Belmont at Aqueduct has eight races today at Belmont at Aqueduct. And their conditions there today, it's sunny, 49 degrees, a little chilly there, but 49 degrees, sunny right now. Tracks fast, turf courses are firm, which means the outer turf course will host races 5 and 8. The inner turf course will host races 1 and 7 today at Aqueduct. And they have 8 races and a first post time of 9:40 at Belmont at Aqueduct. Then we'll get to Keeneland. Keeneland Racecourse has 9 races today. No stakes race today at Keeneland, but what they got there at Keeneland is a pick six carryover. It's a regular pick six carryover, not a jackpot. Okay, the regular pick six carryover, $18,891 at Keeneland today, and a first post time for their nine races at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. first post Keeneland. Horseshoe Indianapolis. Horseshoe Indianapolis has 10 races. The first nine will be thoroughbreds. The last race will be a quarter horse race. First post time at Horseshoe Indianapolis is at 11:10. Then we go to the Presque Isle Downs. Presque Isle Downs has eight races. Their first post time is 12 high noon. High noon, 12 o'clock, Presque Isle Downs. Then we get to Woodbine. Woodbine has a carryover in the Super High Five jackpot. Super High Five jackpot carryover today at Woodbine stands at $46,701. They've got nine races. Their first post time is 1:50. Delta Downs. Delta Downs has eight races today, and their first post time is at 2:50. 2:50 Delta. Charlestown. Charlestown has eight races. Their first post time is at 4 p.m. today. 4 p.m. at Charlestown. And then we wrap it up with Remington Park. Remington Park, nine races, and a first post time of 4:30 at Remington. And that's your racing menu for today. We now go out to Jonathan Hardoon, who's standing by. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How are you?
I'm doing fine, my man. Listen, I got to tell you that race in the last race at Keeneland, I want to set it up just a little. Keeneland, because of the configuration of the racetrack, has two different finish lines. It has a short finish line and a long finish line, depending on the distance of the race. And so the last race last night at Keeneland was at a mile and 1/8, which meant that this was going to be, I believe, at the short finish line, shorter finish line. No?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
The jockey obviously didn't know either.
Yeah. Well, what I'm saying is that the jockey misjudged the finish line because there's two of them there. Now, they tell me that at Keeneland, to help out the jockeys, whatever finish line they're using, they have like a big stop sign there on the inside so they can see it coming down the stretch. And so I guess Luan Machado, who was riding Ultimate Strike, who was cruising on the lead, this horse was gone.
He was going to win by five. He was going to win by five lengths.
He just stood up on his horse, and James Graham was scrubbing and riding, and he had his his head in the mane, and he was just going at it, trying to catch him. And Graham knew where the finish line was, and he got up in just the nick of time, the last jump, to catch this horse that was pulling up. And that horse, Gotta Have Dreams, paid $40.60, igniting the big pick six payoff. And Luan Machado just, when they asked his agent afterward, he said, listen, my jock just misjudged the finish line. What else can you do? He says, there's no other excuse. But, a lot of people were on him because obviously, and you, that was your top selection on your sheet. I'll bet you weren't too happy with that either.
No, I actually would have hit the late pick five. I think it was like $4,700, but that's part of the game, Ralph. Listen, when you play horses, you become immune to all of this stuff. Obviously, the kid didn't do it on purpose. I'm sure he feels sick like a dog. What do you do when you get off the horse and go back and tell the trainer and the owner? What do you say? You throw up your hands and say, I blew it. It's a terrible thing. After it happened, everybody's emotions were going crazy. People were flipping out on X and everything else, and rightfully so. Listen, it's hard enough to win. And when you have it just grabbed from you, snatched away like that, it's like a horse breaking down or jumping through the fence, within the last 50 yards. You play horses long enough, you see everything. It was just a terrible situation. Listen, this guy should know better. Let's be honest. He rides the horse Next, who's a terrific horse. So it's not like he's some rookie that just jumped on board. He should know better. He blew it. I'm sure he's going to get some sort of suspension. But what could we do? There's nothing we could do that's going to change the outcome. It happened. It's over with. We move forward. And again, it was a terrible thing for horse racing. It was a terrible thing for anybody involved, whether they bet the horse, own the horse, train the horse, or just rooting for the horse. It was a bad thing. It happened. I don't have the answer. I don't know. What's he going to get, 30 days? I don't know what they're going to do, but something obviously should be done. And I blame a little bit of it, Ralph, on Heisa. I know it's crazy that to blame Heisa for anything, but they want these guys not riding the horses out, not hitting the horse more than six times or whatever it was. So maybe that's why he eased them up. I don't know, but whatever it was, wasn't good.
Let me take two exceptions to that last comment you made. First of all, Heisa is not telling him not to ride the horses out.
No,
they're telling him. Okay. Wait a minute. They're telling him not to hit the horses as many times. Okay.
Okay.
And secondly, you will agree with me that there was nothing nefarious about what happened. It was just a mistake.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to stand up like that, that's stiffing a horse. You're going to be barred for life.
Yeah.
You know, that was
not to mention
zero.
Not to mention these guys are artful enough to be a little bit more subtle in stiffing a horse rather than being out there by five lengths and pulling him up.
But that's what I'm saying. That's why, what could you really do? It was an honest mistake. You know, things happen in this world. Things happen all the time. It was just unfortunate. And, you know, it cost people a lot of money. And it's part of the game. It's part of life. You turn the page and move forward. But again, there's nothing you could do. There was zero chance that he was stiffing the horse or anything like that.
Yeah,
it was an honest mistake.
Right.
And that's it.
Mistake. Now, I'm going to test my memory. As old as I am, sometimes I have to write myself a note to put gas in my car. You know, so just bear with me. But one of the most famous misjudgments of a finish line was the great Bill Shoemaker on a horse called Gallant Man in the Kentucky Derby. Now, you know how big the finish line post is in the Kentucky Derby? That thing is like a tower. He misjudged it, and I think Hartack won it with a horse, I think, called Iron League. I'm not sure about the horse that beat him, but he was beat on Gallant Man, and Hartack did ride the winner of that race. And that was the most, and I think that was back in 1957, 58, somewhere in there.
The old Hollywood Park used to have two finish lines also, and I believe one day it happened to Pinquet, to Lafitte Pinquet. So if it could happen to Lafitte Pinquet, it could obviously happen to Luann Machado. Yeah. You know, again, things happen. No one did it on purpose. You know, I don't have the answer, Ralph. It's just unfortunate. It's an unfortunate problem.
Now, you're talking about Machado, who is the rider of Next. And Next is a horse that is pointing towards the Breeders' Cup. But they still don't know where he fits because he is a marathon dirt specialist. I mean, he's won the marathon dirt races by zip codes.
Over 100 lengths. I believe the last 10 races that he's won, at least. You know, he's a freak going along. He's just so they're deciding whether to go in the turf or the classic, and I guess they'll have to make up their mind by Monday or whatever it is. Interesting to see where he's going to show up.
Well, they can enter him in both races, but they have to have a preference. They got to give him a preference for one, and then the week after, when they do the entries, then they have to declare where they're going. But he had a nice workout at Turfway Park. Maybe was it yesterday or the day before under Machado? So they're getting ready to send him. But you're right. Now, do you remember, I guess about 10 years ago or whatever, they had a marathon dirt race, a Breeders' Cup marathon dirt race. It was only a $500,000 purse. It wasn't $1 million purse. But it was a Breeders' Cup marathon dirt race that they had for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years, and then they discontinued it. That would have been the perfect race for him. But now they got to wedge him in between whether to go on the turf. By the way, this horse has won on the turf. He hasn't beaten these kind of horses he'll see on the turf in the Breeders' Cup, but he has won on the turf. Or take on the big kahunas in the mile and a quarter Breeders' Cup Classic.
And remember, he's a gelding, so he doesn't have any value as a stud. So really, what they should be interested in is trying to find the race that makes the most sense that he could win. And you're right. Until a few years ago, they used to run like a 2-mile marathon race on the undercard of Breeders' Cup on Breeders' Cup Day, and that race would have been perfect for him.
Yeah.
But they no longer run that race, so it's going to be interesting to see where they decide to run it.
But they are going. They just don't know where they're going to put him.
Yeah. They're definitely running. I mean, as long as all the pieces remain in place, he's going to be running.
I can tell you when the pieces were in place with the latest workout the other day.
That's yeah.
All right, so looking at the notes, the Daily Racing Form puts up weekly notes on the Breeders' Cup races. Your man, Brad Cox, believes that Highland Falls is going to be much improved in off of his big cap fourth place finishers last time he was in Southern California. He's going in the Breeders' Cup Classic. And I guess Idiomatic, which is also trained by Mr. Cox, I guess her final race is going to be in the Breeders' Cup Distaff against Torpedo Anna. She goes into the breeding farm after that with a most successful record, no matter what happens in the Breeders' Cup Distaff.
That's going to be the best race of the day, Ralph. People, that's going to be an unbelievable Torpedo Anna versus Idiomatic. That's a race you want to pay to watch. It's going to be a good one.
Now, you talk about, marathon horses, and Next is a type of horse that just really just goes right to the lead or close to the lead and then just widens from there. You remember that back in at Santa Anita, in late September, the Grade 2 John Henry Turf Championship was won by Cabo Spirit, who went gate to wire in that
wire to wire
in that race for George Papapodromo. And they're going to try the Breeders' Cup turf and hope he shakes loose again in that race. We'll wait and see about that. And I guess a notable speech is heading up to the Breeders' Cup Mile. That is a Godolphin horse. Interestingly, they say that Charlie Appleby, who trains for Godolphin, has never run a horse in the race that lost. Every time he had a horse in the mile, he was a winner. That's something to think about. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile, a lot of contenders in that one. You got the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, Full Serrano and Katona are among the local horses in California. I believe there's going to be something like five California horses that are based in Southern California. They're going to make up the anticipated field for the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. The Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. About five.
And Seize the Gray, by the way, the Lucas horse, is opting for the Dirt Mile. He's going to pass the Classic and probably a smart move.
Yes, he'll be in amongst that. Not a local horse, but he'll be in that. The Philly Mare Turf, Full Count Felicia, who went gate to wire at Woodbine in her last race in this marathon. She's going to try to do the same thing Cabo Spirit's going to try to do. She's going to try to take him wire to wire, trained by Kevin Attard. He's sending that one out after that win at Woodbine and a wire-to-wire score there. Breeders' Cup Philly Mare Sprint, Steve Asmussen's got the top two horses running in that one. Your Breeders' Cup Sprint, Nakatomi, looks to, rebound off of his latest efforts. He is one of two members of the respective lineup for the 2024 Breeders' Cup to have competed in the event a year ago. He was in that race along with the Chosen Vron. Of course, they got beat by Elite Power, you remember, last year. So these two, both Nakatomi and the Chosen Vron, are going to come back this year in the Breeders' Cup Sprint and try to win that thing. The Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint is going to be spotlighting Cogburn. Cogburn obviously is going to be a big favorite in that race, and that's going to be his final
race. By the way, Cogburn, his last race was at Kentucky Downs, and there's a stat out there about horses that won or ran last time in Kentucky Downs. They're like 3-54, I believe, going into the Breeders' Cup. So he's going to be a short-priced horse, and maybe he's vulnerable.
And maybe Jonathan Ardoon is looking to beat him, you think? Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, all right. Well, anyway, it's going to be his last race of his career, and then he's going on from there to his next job, which is going to be much more enjoyable, I think, than running. In any case, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, Minaret Station, is going to try to get another win off of that big upset win in the Bourbon Stakes at Keeneland. And if I'm not mistaken, I think this is no horse has ever won the Bourbon and went on to win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. So this is going to be a first-time shot there. Remember, she was 38-1 in an upset in the Bourbon, but she's going to be in the heading towards the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, of course, Immersive, a big winner there off of the race at Churchill Downs. She's preparing at Churchill Downs for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies, and in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint, Big Eves, who won the Turf Sprint last year for Mick Appleby, and makes another trip to California for the Turf Sprint at Del Mar this year. He won the Juvenile Turf last year. He's going to go for the Turf this year. So just some of the latest news and some of the happenings of horses that are jockeying, no pun intended, for position in the Breeders' Cup races. And we'll keep everybody up to date on what's going on with that. And, of course, our Breeders' Cup special on Wednesday, November 30th. You guys will put it all in perspective, right?
October 30th. November 30th, oh. It'll be long over.
I'm sorry. October 30th. Well, yeah, if we can,
I don't mean to correct the boss, but
no, that's okay. That's okay. I told you my memory sometimes is, but in any case, on October 30th, it is Wednesday, and it's before the Breeders' Cup this year. Okay. And of course, you'll be doing the same thing. You and John, Linda will be doing the same thing for the Saturday races, put a big focus on Saturday for the Friday night seminar. All right, well, let's get a winner over at Keeneland and maybe Aqueduct.
Okay, so let's look at Belmont at Aqueduct first, and they do have a pick six carryover, and we're going to look at the eighth and final race today. And I like the number three horse in here, Stars in the City. This is a three-year-old filly from the Linda Rice barn. Her only bad turf race was two starts back when she was going a distance of ground. Her sprint races, last race, and three races back, either one good enough to get the job done here. Jose Lascano, one of her main riders, climbs aboard today. 5-1 on the morning line. I like number three, Stars in the City, to win today's eighth and final out at Belmont at Aqueduct.
In the big city, the Big Apple, you like Stars in the City, the three horse in the eighth and final race at Aqueduct for Linda Rice. And Jose Lascano, her main guy, is riding him. Lascano and Rice have won a lot of races together and still doing so. So in the eighth race, the final race in the pick six with a carryover, you like number three, Stars in the City, the three in the eighth race. And now we'll go to Keeneland.
Let's go to Keeneland. Look at race number six, 5.5 furlong sprinting on the turf. And I like the number seven horse in here, Finster, a three-year-old colt from the Owen Hardy barn. I like the switch to Flavian Pratt. I like the fact that he goes back to the grass today. His grass race two starts back, wins this race. You're getting 6-1 on the morning line. Number seven, Finster, upsets and wins today's sixth race out at Keeneland.
All right, let's put a Winster for Finster. And in the sixth race, the seven Finster is your pick. Flavian Pratt aboard, 5.5 furlongs on the turf. Sixth race at Keeneland, which happens to be the start of the late pick four at Keeneland. In the sixth race, number seven Finster is your play. And, of course, you have a full sheet for both Keeneland and Belmont at Aqueduct today.
JONHARDOON.com. Thank you, Ralph.
All right. It's nice chewing the fat with you, my man, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Stay safe and be well. Thank you.
All right. Coming up next is Rich Eng. Rich Eng, of course, will have a pick for us at Keeneland after that nice long shot to finish second to complete the Sirocco play yesterday. And I guess he might turn to a little pigskin and have a pick for tonight's Thursday night NFL game, too. Don't go away.
Tunnel to Towers helps so many people. As a player of the Mets, I feel like for me, I have a responsibility to give back, especially to a cause that's authentically New York. And I just want to show appreciation for those brave men and women who really do a massive service, not just in New York, but everywhere. Hey, I'm Pete Alonso. Let's go Mets, and let's help the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Go to T2T.org for more information about how your donation can make a difference.
Thank you, buddy.
There are many families that need your help. I'm Mark Wahlberg, and I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation in their efforts to deliver mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star and fallen first responders families with young children, as well as eradicating homelessness amongst our veterans.
Everybody knows where the money's going. Every single dollar. God bless you.
Please contribute $11 a month to support their efforts by visiting T2T.org.
South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur, From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
Back on Race Day Las Vegas for this almost Friday, Thursday. Want to make a small correction in the marking at Keeneland for the races to designate the finish lines. One of our chatters said that they put a red octagon on the first pole if it's in use. They don't mark the last pole, so on the first pole, they do it. In other words, they're just warning the jockeys in the race when it starts that it's going to be at the short finish line. So we thanks for correction. I'm telling you, our chatters are right on. Good guys. All right, time to go to Rich Hang standing by. Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
You have that Scirocco play, buddy?
Hey, yes, I did, Ralph. As soon as they crossed the finish line, I sent you a text, yeah, and a thumbs up, because on a race like that, I'm a simple bettor sometimes, Ralph. What I had in my pocket was an exacta box with John's horse, and I bet one unit to win and two units to place as far as the measurements. That's part of the Jerry Jackowicz angle. But, yep. I did okay in the race.
Yeah, not a question about that for sure. I guess you saw the last race at Keeneland as well.
Yeah, I feel bad for the kid. And you know what? He had a brain cramp. And I'll make a football analogy, Ralph. I know we've all seen highlights where, like, someone's going to score an easy touchdown, and for some reason they drop the football in the field of play, like on the 1 or 2 yard line before crossing the finish line. And the officials, of course, cannot call that a touchdown because he didn't carry it across. He didn't break the plane with the ball, but just a brain cramp, and I feel bad for the kid. He's a good rider, and everything I read about him is that he's a nice kid.
Yeah, you're right. I've seen it not a lot, but several times where a guy wants to celebrate so much that he's going to the end zone with nobody near him. He starts celebrating with dropping the ball before they get across the line. But yes, it'll happen, and we'll move on. He's a quality rider, though, that's for sure. But I got to tell you, did you hear the call of the race? Kurt Becker was trying to almost warn him about what was going on in the race.
I was watching the race, but the sound was off. I couldn't have the sound on where I was, so I did not hear the call. But I'll listen to the replay.
Yeah, it's a gem. Becker did great. You know, it was almost like when the horse hit the wire and he got beat, it was almost like it was like unbelievable. He couldn't fathom that. But in any case, we move on. What about the talking about the drop in the football? What are we going to do tonight on the Thursday night NFL game?
Well, let's see if we can keep the mojo from the weekend. We had a nice winner on Saturday. We had a nice winner on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I do have an opinion on tonight's game. It's the Denver Broncos at the New Orleans Saints. The Broncos are favored by 2.5, Ralph, and I got to go to Denver at this point. One of the angles that's not getting played up enough is the fact that the head coach of the Broncos, Sean Payton, coached the Saints for over a decade, won a Super Bowl with Drew Brees there. And I tell you what, this is a homecoming for him, and if you don't think this game doesn't mean a lot to him, then you don't know athletes and people's emotions. But the Broncos' defense is much better than the Saints' defense. They both start rookie quarterbacks. I just think the Broncos at this point look like the better football team on paper. We'll lay the 2.5 and try to get a win for Sean Payton.
Now, wasn't the New Orleans Saints, when they opened this game, a 1-point favorite? It switched to the Broncos?
Yeah, that's correct. If you picked up the football sheets in one of the sports books in town, they do the first number that come out. The Saints were favored by 1. Now it's swung all the way to New Orleans. That's where the money's coming in. You got two rookie quarterbacks, but at least with Bo Nix, he started every game this season. Yeah. They've kept a real short leash on him. That's why his stats are quite frankly, miserable in a lot of cases. But he's done a decent job not turning the football over, which is one of the things that Sean Payton is really trying to protect.
All right, time to get to a horse. Go to Keeneland.
All right. Well, I don't have a big long shot today, but I'll have a horse that I hope will get to the winner's circle. Race 8 at Keeneland is a mile and a 16th on the grass. And if you take a look at the number 4 horse, Saffron Moon, 3-1 in the morning line with Flavion Pratt riding for Chad Brown. This horse has 2 starts at Keeneland. He won at Keeneland on the grass in 2022. He won at Keeneland on the grass in 2023. And now he's coming off the layoff and trying to win again on the grass in 2024. Nice workouts. This horse 2-for-2 with Keeneland. Let's go with the number 4, Saffron Moon, in race 8.
8th race, Keeneland. Number 4, Saffron Moon. By the way, it's a full moon today, so maybe that's a hunch bet. 8th race, number 4, Saffron Moon. Flavion Pratt aboard in the 8th. Don't forget, you can get the rest. Full sheet for Keeneland today at the racedaylasvegas.com website from Rich Hank. Thanks a lot, Rich. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Aaron. Good luck, everybody.
All right, final break, and then we go to John and Jerry, so don't go away. Still more ahead.
South Point offers all the types of entertainment you'd expect at a first-class Las Vegas resort. Did you know our 400-seat showroom is one of Las Vegas's top destinations for live entertainment? Enjoy live performances by classic Vegas entertainers, bands, and today's hottest comedians, plus a rock and dance floor. You can also enjoy live entertainment at the Grand View Lounge, where you'll feel all the vibes of old Las Vegas. Enjoy the music, and if you love to laugh, don't miss The Dirty at 12:30, our very own free comedy show, every Friday night at 12:30 a.m. in the Grand View Lounge. The Dirty is 100% free, so arrive early. Go to southpointcasino.com or call the box office at 77136 for today's performances at the showroom and the Grand View Lounge. When you're ready for your favorite cocktail, stop in and unwind at one of our 7 specialty lounges. There's a bar around every corner, because you're in Vegas, baby.
$1 million will be on the line for a field of top juveniles at Los Alamitos. It's the running of the Golden State Million Futurity on Sunday, October 27th. They'll be dreaming of riches, led by fastest qualifier, American Dreaming. This filly was simply sensational in the Golden State Million Trials. Plus, Lethal Cowboy 123 and Big Bang Rocket will be looking to repeat their big trial wins. And can Ultimate Battle win a Futurity after 2 runner-up finishes? The Golden State Million Futurity, Sunday, October 27th.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty. Time to go to the man who gave us the first part of the Sirocco play yesterday, and that is John Lindo. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, my man. You guys came up with the winner for the Sirocco play there at Keeneland, and I can tell you it was a nice production, that's for sure. A nice result with your horse winning at $12.26.
Yeah, that worked, and cashed a nice exacta there. So thank you, Richie. That helped, and we'll go on to today.
John, I guess you saw the last race at Keeneland as well.
Yeah, you know, an honest mistake, but a costly one for a lot of people, Ralph. And just to give you an idea, not only, you know, the win bets, but Ultimate Strike, the horse he was riding, was 28-1 in the gate, went off at 13-1, so the CAW money came in there. There was $980,000 bet in the multi-race rolling bets, $288,000 in the win, place, and show, $244,000 in the exacta, $158,000 in the try. You get the idea how much money was rolling in this race.
Yeah.
And, again, mistake. We see what happens with Heise, how they want to protect the horses when they're any kind of mistake positives or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what happens now if they're going to protect the horse players and the owners who lost a purse of $27,000. Instead, they got $8,700.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see if they've got the interest of the people who finally pay the bills. But we'll wait and see about that. And we're not going to hold our breath on that one either.
No, we're not. But, you know, it's something that they should think about.
Absolutely. John, you have a Keeneland sheet today here at the South Point. The Lindo Report, of course, each and every Southern California day and selected days at other racetracks. You're doing the Keeneland meet as well, this meet. So there's 2 Lindo Reports throughout this month. And, of course, today is only Keeneland, but the Keeneland Lindo Report covering all of the races with selections, a suggested late pick four, and all that goody information at the bottom that you need for handicapping is all in one sheet. That is at the Lindell Report, and that is here only in one place in Las Vegas, Nevada. Can you get the Lindell Report complimentary, free of charge? That's right here at the South Point Racebook, because they love horse players. Really that simple. John, what do you got for us today?
You know, we sent in our plays to you the night before, Ralph, and I ended up on the same horse as John Hardoon in race 6 at Keeneland, number 7, Finster, a horse that gets back on the grass today. I like cutting back to 5.5 from 6. He was on pushing a really fast pace last time on the dirt. He's better with a target. There's a lot of speed in here that he can sit behind, get a rider switch to Flavien Prat. I don't know if we're going to get 6-1 now. I'll take 7-2 or 4-1. But number 7, Finster, race number 6 at Keeneland.
That's the Horse Players Good Housekeeping seal of approval on the race day show when we have two handicappers landing on the same horse. That happens here in the 6th race. You like the 7, Finster, as well as Jonathan Hardoon. And both you guys think that Flavien Prat's going to have at least a couple of wins today. That's for sure. And I can tell you one thing right now. He is one heck of a rider.
He's as good as there is out there in the country right now, Ralph, no doubt.
Yes. And, of course, you'll be back with Santa Anita and Keeneland over the weekend, right?
Right. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Santa Anita and Keeneland.
All right. Thanks a lot, my man. We will talk to you tomorrow.
You got it, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right. Now we're going to go to Jerry Jackowitz standing by. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph.
And I know that you have a power page today for Belmont at Aqueduct. And Belmont at Aqueduct, of course, I think it's an interesting card of racing today. 8 races there. And, of course, you got a carryover, small carryover, and the pick 6 as well today, Belmont Aqueduct.
Yeah, I thought there were maybe 4 races that were interesting.
Oh, 4 races. Okay. All right. Well, as I perused the card here, you've got several V horses. You got, obviously, the feature play you're about to give us. And, of course, some pop-out keys and stars. So you got some designations there for on some horses.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. But, like, the second race, for example, there's a 1-5 shot. And I have a V horse in the race. And it's probably, it's only 5-6 horses in the race behind the 1-5
Well,
shot.
Jerry.
It's a tough one to go against, because with 1-5 shot, horses that are listed at 4-5 or below.
Uh-huh.
Actually is the only category of horses that naturally turns a tiny small profit. So you really bet, when you bet against these odds on horses, that's really true odds on horses, it's a little tougher road to hoe.
So their frequency, even though the prices are extremely short, the frequency is a lot higher.
Right. I mean, they pay 210 and they should only pay 205. And so you're getting into a pool where there's just no money to be made, even if you have a V horse, except randomly runs out.
Let me ask you this then. You know, the old saying, turning chicken feathers into chicken soup. You take that 1-5 shot, and if you put your V horse in the second spot in the exacta, would that not be a nice play?
Probably less than what it should be, because you're probably going to get beat by the 1-5 shot.
Yeah.
And the long price of the win price is not going to show up in your exact. The exact is going to get sucked down.
Okay.
Because it's going to get sucked down by the favorite.
I'm not talking about a box. I'm just talking about the favorite to the V horse. Maybe that might be a way. But
right. I'm just saying that play, you won't get what you want.
Okay. Let's get what we want now, and that's a play at Aqueduct. Go.
Good. Let's go to the 8th race, the final race. We'll go to race number 8. We'll take number 9, My Life Story. Part of this is the jockey switch from Franco to Joel Rosario. If you look at this 3-year-old colt, it looks like he's a pretty nice horse, runs a lot, but kind of doesn't get the job done. And last time out, they moved him back to 6 furlongs, and he showed really good speed fit for his class.
Okay.
Maybe too much speed, and I think Rosario will time it a little better. At least I hope he will. I think it's a great key, though.
Okay.
So I like the 9 over the 3. I like the 9 over the 3, 5, 7, 8, and 10. Do my reverses, 3, 5, 7, 8, and 10 back over the 9. The 9 is the right horse. It's all a question of whether Rosario can fool him into winning.
I understand completely. We're running out of time, so in the 8th race, you like the 9 over 3, 5, 7, 8, and 10, and reverse. J. Jonathan Hardoon came with the three. We got another Scirocco play between Jerry and Jonathan. The Scirocco play is the exacta box of 3993 in the eighth at Belmont. Power pages for the rest right now at jerryjspowerpage.com. Go ahead and say it, Jerry.
Have a great race day, everybody.
It's Ralph Serrato at Race Day Las Vegas, morning on 1400 KSHP North Las Vegas.
Online
at kshp.gov.